CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday on CliffCentral.com. We've got Pumelele Mashiko. We've got Bulalo Tinta. We got me and you. And it's also the Burning Platform a little bit later on today, where we catch up on all the things that we need to understand politically. And we'll be joined by some guests there as well. It's going to be lots of fun. I'm looking forward to that. I hope you're looking forward to your Thursday morning. I woke up with some load shedding today. I only realized when I went to go for the bathroom light, and I was like, oh, no. Okay. But luckily, you know, luckily I went and spent money on an inverter this year. So at least the studio works. Nothing else in my house is going to work on the plugs, but that'll work. So at least we've got that going.
Please.
At least.
Yes.
So how are things, Pums?
Hey.
How are you doing?
It is what it is. Are we used to it yet? It's kind of gotten to be like the weather. Let's be used to it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
move on.
Bulela was saying that like people all over the country who are getting used to not having water either. Soon we'll all be like Lieto, and we'll just have like totally given up on everything. That's what I hope won't happen.
Oh, like Stalinist Russia.
I don't want us to start the morning complaining about load shedding. So if you hear an annoying hum, that's my look at that. Power's just come on.
Look at that.
Marvelous. All right, I'll take it. But then I'll kill that hum just now. Just before we carry on, I saw this billboard. It's probably the biggest billboard on the N1 yesterday. Look at this. Qinisa umuzi ngo2 rand.
What?
Get magical protection for your home. And then it's got this guy with his magic. Professor Dr. Dlamini. I can't read what the rest of that is. Magic Clinic. This is the guy's. This is the biggest billboard on the highway. I mean, this guy must have. Pumi, you know what advertising costs. You know what billboard advertising costs. This Professor Dr. Dlamini, whatever his name is, must have lots of cash.
There's money to be made. There's money to be made in the spiritual protection world.
Get magical protection for your home.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, shit's going down, y'all. There's so much going down.
So
you need this protection.
So what would he do, do you think, if I paid him 2 rand? What do I get?
No. Don't get it twisted. The 2 rand is not the final price.
Oh,
that's just the...
That's subscription.
Like Scientology.
That's the hook.
The unlock. Yes.
And then what is he going to do? Like, what do you think the menu has in store?
He probably has to have a consultation and see how deep your problems are.
Ah, okay. And that would probably cost what?
Yeah, because that's probably the 2 rand.
Okay.
The consultation.
All right, well...
To tell you how desperately you need the services.
Okay, so maybe I should go for the 2 rand consultation and then see what he comes back with.
Those things are like, they're like Alice's hole. You go down the rabbit hole.
I just can't believe that the biggest billboard on the N1 highway is for magical things that they're going to do to your house. Magical protection. And he says there that it's his magic clinic. And then he gives his cell phone number. And I suppose that's him in the picture.
My favorite.
On the side there.
Yeah. My favorite part is that he's Professor Doctor. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Prof. Doctor. Dlamini, whatever his. Wow, what a guy.
How's that, huh?
What if his name is Doctor? Like Kumalo?
Probably.
No, his name is actually Theophanias.
So we
please get that,
that
right. Theophanias.
Not Theophanias. Theophilus.
Theophilus.
No, Theophilias. Sorry. Theophilias. It's not Theophilus. It's Theophilias. Pumi said right.
So I took
Theophilias.
I took that picture myself while I was driving 2 days ago. I thought we've got to talk about this because this is something that obviously South Africa must have enormous need for this guy and his magic clinic. So...
Dude, it's like the flyers. Because, you know, we see billboards and we know billboards are expensive.
Sure.
But you know the flyers that you get everywhere that they give out and that they paste everywhere. That stuff is just as expensive. Like, to print all those flyers every day, to have the people all over, like, handing it out. Yo.
So I wonder if he would
There's money to be made.
Do you think he would do, like, muti and bury it at my front door so that it would ward off bad people and bless the house? I mean, can he do that for me? Because that's no different to people who go and spend. And again, I'm not looking for a fight with anybody here, so don't take any of this personally.
You're not?
How's this different to people who go to the church on a Sunday and ask for the blessings of God or whatever? I mean, it's all in the same wheelhouse, you know? It's all in the same wheelhouse. Yeah. So if you believe in, like, a clump of hair and some bones and shit being buried at your front door, and you laugh at people like that, but you still go and you ask a priest to bless you, or, you know, you sprinkle holy water around your house or whatever. It's the same. It's the same thing.
It's all systems of belief. Yeah. There's a channel on DSTV, and I don't know what the channel is. All I know is it's called Moja Love. Hmm. And they have all these kinds of shows on there. They actually have a show on there. One called Izangoma Zodumo, which is some kind of like...
Whoa, what? This channel's unbelievable, because we have a colleague here who we need to do a full episode with, Simpiwe, who knows everything on Moja Love. She knows every channel. She's told me about Joob Joob and guys getting caught for cheating and Nimrod Ngosi, your late night mate, or whatever that one's called, where you are not the father.
It's not your late night mate, man. That was long ago. That was long ago, Nimrod. Now Nimrod is out here with Tatako, but... Still another thing.
Okay. Right.
The Izangoma Zodumo, it's kind of like it's like a reality show with these girls that are Sangomas. It kind of just follows them around. But there is another show which is a people that are looking for help that come to the Sangoma. And then the entire episode is kind of trying to unravel their spiritual, the help they need.
Oh, so that's what this guy would do. Two-rand consultation. And you can only be helped once he's seen you once for $450 for 25 minutes. And then that's how it goes. Maybe that's how it
exactly
works.
Like when you go to a doctor. You see, first you go for the consultation, you pay your whatever fee their consultation fee is, and then they tell you all of the things that, and you go to the chemist, you get all of the things that you need to get, you know, it's like, or you go for further tests.
So do you think this guy would be able to help us? Because Annette says that maybe this magic clinic protects your home from load shedding, you know, water cuts, or all the, I mean, for that, it would be worth the R2, right?
Well, that's for the second
package. But that's not a spiritual attack.
Oh.
Yeah.
But also, I thought Eskom was attacking us in our fundament.
but it's not like...
No?
This is the other world realm.
Oh, okay.
That you're dealing with.
All right. So we live in a country where things are tough for a lot of people, right? Let's not... this is not debatable. This is not controversial. Millions of South Africans are living in really, really difficult circumstances. They're suffering to make ends meet. Some of them are not making ends meet, perhaps even the majority of us. Things are expensive. Inflation is marching up. They're going to have to put up interest rates next year. That's what everybody's saying. But the places that seem to thrive, especially when things are bad, there are a number of them. First one, liquor stores. Okay, they do well no matter what happens in the economy. In fact, they do better when people are worse. The other one is churches. I mean, I drove past that one church in Sandton yesterday. Yes, sis. I looked at how they've built that place in the last 5 years. It has grown in leaps and bounds. It's now so big that you could probably, I don't know how many people you can fit in there. I don't know what the, you know which one I mean? It's like called Rivers Church.
I have no idea.
Okay, huge. It's warehouse size.
Oh, no, I do know.
Yeah.
I do know, like by South Road or something.
Yeah. And they've even got
emergency
exits that look like the emergency exits that come out of the Sandton Convention Center. It's that big. Huge. Yeah. And then you've got this, you know, the Sangoma who's going to cure you with his magic and help you with his magic. Now, these are the businesses that are pretty much future-proofed. They're future-proofed. They're ESCOM-proofed. They're economic decline-proofed. These are the businesses we...
That's what they give. They sell you.
We chose... No, but I mean, the church itself is future-proof and business-proof, economy-proof.
Exactly, because it sells hope.
Right. So we're in the wrong business, is what I'm thinking. I wish I'd gone back...
This is not the first time you said this.
I wish I'd gone back to when I was in my 20s. Oh, you know, atheist.
Oh, God.
I was
Gareth all like, would be a terrible priest.
Oh, you think?
You would be a terrible priest.
Why?
You're too cynical.
No, but I could pretend. None of them are really, they don't really believe all that stuff. I think most of them are self-conscious frauds. I really do.
Like no, but I agree with Pumi. You're too practical. Because you've got to be, oh, your husband's cheating on you. Come back next week.
Mm.
Yeah, no. To me, though. To me. Yeah, you must come back to me. There it is. See. Put me in a...
Well, here we go. I mean, Michael says pretty much what I was getting at is belief in sangomas and priests is the only way to explain South Africa's choice in leaders. They all promise magic and most of them believe them. I mean, you remember like Emmerson Mnangagwa across the border here. He wanted to dig up Bob Mugabe a while ago because of a stick that Bob was buried with. Do you remember that? This is the shit we're dealing with on a daily basis in this part of the world.
Uh-huh.
And that's just one border away from us. Gail Force says, churches will even take their tithes with SnapScan and Zapper. Churches are businesses, same as everyone else. Yeah, that's amazing. Hopium, the opiate of the masses, says Corona's boring. Beautiful. spinning the words of Marx there. That's beautiful.
That is nice. That's tepid. You don't even have to bring like...
Yeah. Yeah. It's a snap scan. I love that. The guy comes around and goes, hi, do you have any cash on you for your tithes? Like, cash? For my tithes, you'll need my credit card. Here we are. Fine, sir. Or I'll just use my phone. I mean, I was talking yesterday about Apple Pay, and we were talking about these loyalty cards that we all have to carry around. And Michael Flack said there's a brilliant app that you can use to – I'm going to load all my cards today, actually, on that app. It's called Stocard, Stocard. And apparently you can put all your loyalty cards in there. You don't have to schlep around like four cards every time you go to the shops, you know? So that's what I'm going to do.
Amazing.
And maybe I can even load a church on there. Who knows? Churches maybe even have apps. You don't know that, right?
Probably.
They probably do. They probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
The mega ones. The big mega churches.
So I was doing a documentary a while back, sort of questioning these sorts of things. And I went to the one that everyone knows with the guy who's been divorced three times and has five Ferraris. And after I started to ask some uncomfortable questions, he got his goons to kick me out. Me and the crew, get the hell out of here. You're not allowed to question me.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one is he?
Yeah.
Tell us. I mean, this is...
Macaulay.
Oh, right.
No, Ray Macaulay. Ray. Yeah.
No. Oh, you got he used to be a bouncer, so...
Yeah, no, he has to work.
That's why.
I wasn't sure if you were talking about him because I wondered why he would need anybody else to kick you out. He could have done it himself.
Every bouncer knows you need other bouncers.
Yeah, you don't do your. No, he's. You know, real gangsterism now is not about doing the dirty work yourself.
Yeah,
you outsource now.
Right.
You know, he's gone executive now.
I mean, the politicians do the same thing, right?
Absolutely.
I hadn't seen or heard that name in such a long time, and in 2 days I've now heard it twice.
Uh-oh.
Because I also saw an article in the paper that he wrote, an opinion piece. And I was like,
oh yeah.
What's he doing now?
What is he doing now?
I have no idea, but he was complaining about the low voter turnout.
Okay, well at least someone's looking out for that. That's what we need. We need the spiritual leaders to... You know what I love is that this is one of the places in the world where the spiritual leaders and the politicians are in cahoots. A lot of our spiritual leaders use the politicians to get what they want, you know, special exemptions and, you know, tax-free status and all the rest of it. Because, of course, you don't pay taxes if you're a church in South Africa. And in turn, the politicians say, well, when election season rolls around, can we come and talk to your congregation? And will you canvass them for us? And they go, yeah, sure. So it's this pact with the devil that both of them make, where the devil is the other side, you know, interchangeable. You decide.
Yeah.
Zach says, I want to get into business of robbing churches. Call my crew the Holy Gang and use a portion of that for philanthropy. Yeah.
That's all. That can be the taxes.
Amazing. Tracy says, by the way, you can link your you can link a charity to your Woolies My School card using one of these apps, apparently. That's very handy. All right, and then Ruth wants to know, Gareth, what do you think about this international fuel company messing with our South African coast? Any opinions on it? I've seen a lot of this going around on social media about Shell. Shell are doing exploration around our coast to look for oil.
Shale gas.
And shale gas and lots of other things. So, I mean, I've always been in favor of humans maximizing the utility of the earth around us. I would prefer not to have our natural reserves destroyed and decimated, but I think that ship has already sailed, if you'll pardon the pun, because all over South Africa's coast, it's being fished to pieces, and not even by us. You know, international
China
and Japan and a number of other countries that are just fishing our seas to death. There's going to be nothing left soon. So obviously I'm against the destruction of the natural world. I don't think anyone on earth is going around saying, no, 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 we're very much in favor of the destruction of the earth. I don't think there's a single person, even the most horrible crony capitalist, you know, exploratory mining nutcase. There's no one who's going around saying, nah, let's destroy the planet. That's obviously a position that very few people occupy, if any. But
it doesn't mean they aren't destroying the planet, though.
No, of course not. But you know, again, if we're going to look to who's going to stop this? Who's going to stop this?
No, that's
either politicians aren't going to stop it. I can promise you that much. There's no way a politician's going to make this better. What are they going to do? Introduce more laws, right? That no one's going to follow. That's the funny thing is that we elect these people to be the legislators. And then they make laws that are just not enforceable anyway. So why bother having them in the first place? Because then we're paying them to just sit around. And I don't know what kind of environmental protection laws we have in this country. Supposedly we have them. I mean, I've got to go to a meeting tonight because just up the road from me, there's a property developer, read in between brackets, a greedy bastard, who wants to put up 8-story blocks of flats. Just a little way up the road from me. He wants to put up 8-story high flats. Now, all the rules in the municipality say that that is not possible. He's on ground that is dolomite, so it's, you know, there's danger of sinkholes and things. So there's huge danger to the people who might end up buying those places. And they'll be probably moderate to low cost apartments. So, you know, 1-bedroom flats and so on. Affordable housing. You know that the people who will end up carrying the can if this doesn't work or if something goes wrong are the poor people who are trying to get onto the property ladder or trying to rent or whatever. But this is sheer greed. Do you think this guy's going to be stopped by the municipal laws? Not a chance. So we all have to go to a meeting tonight to put our concerns to him. And then he's going to ignore us anyway and do what he wants. So you tell me where exactly are the politicians in that? So it's not necessarily just environmental destruction because it's going to look revolting and spoil everything about the neighborhood. But this guy is also going to take the chance of having these buildings built on unstable ground, et cetera, et cetera. Where are the politicians? Nowhere to be found. All those people we voted for.
The bureaucrats, neither.
Yeah, well, of course not. All those people we voted for just a few short weeks ago, where are they? Nowhere. So what are we going to do? So I don't know. If we can't even solve a block of flats being built on our doorsteps, Ruth, how are we going to solve Shell doing exploration around our coastline and possibly causing huge amounts of trouble for the environmental lobby and people who care about the fact that the environment's about to be destroyed, as it has been in many other parts of the world. So I don't know the answer, but I know for sure politicians are not going to get it to stop.
What you need to make sure is that you don't allow one-bedroom apartments around where you live, because that changes the whole dynamic. And people get uncomfortable with that conversation. No.
Oh,
there must be zones for that.
I'm sorry.
We don't need that.
You can't even say that, because if you say that and you bring up any kind of class distinction and
so
you say,
elitist.
Well, you say, well, my property, my property value is going to be affected by this. They go, oh, don't be greedy. Meanwhile, the property developers being the greedy one, he's the one who's trying to build 9,000 apartments instead of just 400. You know, now I'm the bad guy.
Hey, so social mobility is the government's problem, not mine. Especially if you're paying the types of levies that. No.
Well, Karabo rightly says they will be the first one to send condolences on camera when the building collapses. Exactly.
Exactly.
Sorry, you were saying Pums?
When you were saying the dynamics, when you were saying it changes the dynamics, I was just thinking about the traffic.
Oh my God!
That's another.
You have no idea.
And that's always the thing for me. When you see another like complex or another block of flats go up, I'm just like, oh, the traffic.
Yeah,
that's my biggest one.
Well, so again, this is who we're going to call. We're going to call this Professor Dr. Dlamini whatever, and he is going to come and sort this out for me. I'm going to tell them to put Muti down. And use whatever spells he can to get rid of these people. That's what we need. And bugger it. If that doesn't work, I don't know. Yeah. That's my last hope.
The last bastion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the southern suburbs of Cape Town are going through the most right now. So obviously, you know, those properties there, sort of that Claremont Newlands area.
Yeah.
Monstrous back in the day. But what's happening now is, as the previous generation sells up and moves to the coast, as I think we've discussed before, is a lot of those properties are now becoming complexes, whether like 8 to 12, 12 house complexes. And they're struggling with that because already, if you've driven in those suburbs, Cape Town roads are like Kate Moss thin. They are Kate Moss thin, right? And there's Herschel Girls School right there, by the way, as well. In the middle, like 1,000 girls just screaming everywhere with that traffic. The roads aren't getting any wider. And they're just adding complexes in the southern suburbs. Oh, man. How do they get away with it? There must be laws for this. Town planning. Like,
somebody says here that the developers pay off the politicians. Jim says the politicians have been paid off. They won't stop it. And I believe that. I actually think that a lot of people get paid off by these guys because they've got deep pockets. And they know how much is going to be made. So they're willing to cordon off some of the money to get what they need done in terms of the law, right? So anyway, let's see how it goes. I'll let you know because that meeting is tonight. I don't know. All right, I want to move on to the story that was from the West Rand this week about this guy over here, Lynn Kluter. Did you see you saw the video, right? Everybody's seen the video by now. This moron who stood up to the... Now, I don't want to seem completely unsympathetic, but I am. There's no way for me to put this nicely. I mean, like, this guy was shot. I don't know if he's still alive or not. But he was, like, threatening the police and saying to them, shoot me, shoot me. And he was there in his underpants for some reason. Anyway, they've released a Mulder's Drift starter pack. So here it is. You've got to have that.
Oh, my God.
The Hulk Hogan kind of skull cap thing. You've got to have a big silver or gold getang. The blue underpants.
Gareth, that video. Okay. So I think you have to tell the story for people who may not have seen the video.
Ugh, you tell
did
it.
You see,
you tell it.
Did you see the longer video? Because when I saw the video, the first one I saw, he actually was naked.
Yeah. All right. So this guy.
He put the underpants on
halfway
through his fight.
So here's the part that I don't understand, and I think Pumi's alluding to this now. So these two couples checked into this lodge or whatever. Now, if it's two couples checking into a lodge, and I think they were staying in the same like part of the lodge, maybe it's like a two-bedroom place or whatever, but it sounds like almost like swinger vibes are going on there, that these couples are having like a, you know, some kind of orgy or something. That was the first thing that got my attention. Then in the start of the video, the guy's wearing no clothes. And he puts on a pair of these blue underpants. And then he starts arguing with the cops, goes and fetches his gun. The cops are trying to calm him down. He's like, ah, screw you, you're all useless. You're so arrogant, you're full of shit. And he's shouting at them and carrying on. And he says to the one cop, he dares him. He goes, shoot me, man. Then he grabs his gun. And that's when the other cop shoots him. And he falls down. And then apparently was rushed to hospital and was put into ICU. But I don't know whether the guy's alive or dead. But if you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, right?
So everything about that video was fantastic, though. I mean, the screaming girls, when he gets shot at, the way he falls over.
And the way, like,
he falls down, like kind of one knee at a time.
Yeah, but then also over. When he falls down, the guy who's holding the camera doesn't flinch. This is his supposed friend. His friend. Now, if I watched as you or Mbulelo got shot in front of me, you better believe I would drop the camera. That would be the first thing I would do and try to intervene to stop someone from being... Long before you were shot, I'd be involved, saying, please, guys, it's less important that we film this than we sort this out amicably, and we just deal with Len. So, anyway, that's the man. Oh, my God. Look
at him. And then the screaming, the girlfriend screaming, hey, what?
You're joking. Horrible.
Oh, my God.
No, so the memes.
It was awful. Oh my God. It really was awful because when I first saw the video, I thought, I'm not going to watch this, a video of a person getting shot. But it just kept coming up. And then I thought, okay, let me just look. And then I think I watched it like 6 times in a row because every time you watch it, and there's a new dynamic coming at you. Guys, South Africa
these
is
up. The memes are coming out.
These memes are unplayable.
It doesn't take South Africa long to start making fun of something like this. And obviously, you know, I feel for his family if they even know what that means, because no one wants their relative shot. But this guy kind of deserved it, and he was looking for trouble. Lynn Kluter.
That was my favorite part.
What did he say?
When she started screaming after he like fell over. Mm-hmm. When she started screaming, hey, Stuart!
Stop it! Like, stop it!
It's madness.
None of them were trying to stop him. It was all fun and games for all of them. Up until the moment, Sam, what are you doing?
Yeah, but what do you expect this? What did they expect the guy to do? I mean, like, what do you expect the cops to do in that situation? Because, you know, the cop doesn't want to get into a gunfight with this lunatic who's wearing just underpants and has this handlebar moustache. And, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ, who wants to be involved with that dude? Looks like a poor man's version of Steven Seagal. With a chain around his neck that's probably made of like spray painted gold. I don't know what. Anyway, I mean, this is the West Rand for you. I mean, honestly, if there was ever any reason for you to not go to the West Rand, then this must be it. For God's sake. Embarrassment. So, and these people share our country with us.
I don't even know. So what? I don't even know how it got to that point. Because I actually like how. What was? Why were the cops even there? Like it's the middle of the night.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because the hotel themselves, the lodge that he was checking in at, apparently he started causing a scene in reception because their room wasn't ready. Okay, so that was where it all started. So the reception said, "Listen, I'm going to take a chance with this idiot. We're calling the cops because we can tell he's going to be a problem." And he was waving his gun around. And you know,
he was causing a scene because his room wasn't ready. But he was naked when the video started.
So then they gave him the room. And then he caused even more trouble. And they said to him, "Listen, please, sir, we'll give you your money back for the room. Please go and find another place to stay." And he was like, "Screw you, I'm staying here." So they eventually acquiesced and gave him the room. And then they called the cops. Cops arrived. And that's when all the stuff in the video went down. But why the nudity? That's the part I...
Oh, you got
it. I'm stuck on that. I'm sorry.
You're still...
That is the reason why I thought, what, they shot a naked man? Hmm. Okay, I've got to see what's going on here.
So, Pumi.
That's how it all, like, I was also a little at the beginning. I was like, what? The guy is obviously, and he wasn't getting into a fight. He was naked. Like, when you are naked, you're vulnerable. We remember this from Oscar Pistorius, right? With his legs off. So, guy.
Yeah.
But then when you watch that video, you're just like.
But you can look up his social media. Which a friend of mine did, because this friend of mine she's a nutcase, and she's like, I'm going to check this guy out. So she found his Instagram, and he's called Lynn Undertaker on Instagram.
Wow.
You know the Undertaker from the WWE?
Yes.
That guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's who he's basing his life on, clearly. And he's got
that makes sense. That entire look makes sense now.
Well, maybe the Undertaker is the most appropriate moniker for him, because he may be going to an Undertaker soon. Who knows?
That's it.
We don't know what his condition is, but he was. I love the police report too, because, you know, there's his stupid, and then there's the general police stupid, which we're so used to in this country too. So the police report, which has also been doing the rounds, says in the last line, Mr. Klute was then shot on the head. Now, we shot him on the head. So, you know, even the police report in this is stupid. Everything about this story is just stupid and embarrassing. I don't know where to start, honestly.
They should have, you know, when you book in, you like check in man, woman, you know, he, her, title, doctor. They need to have a slot for West Rand, East Rand, you know what I mean?
Indeterminate.
And then, yeah, if we're from, you know, the rest of us, from the south, from the north, for us, we don't need to check those boxes. But if you're from the West Rand from now on,
well,
you have to tick a box.
Ruth says drugs, sex, swinging, and alcohol. Oh, and guns. What a party. Yeah. Jesus.
What is it? Sir, what are you doing?
Snaya says he pulled the gun from the cop's hand so easily, he made the cop look like an amateur. Well, I hate to say it, Snaya, but most of our cops are amateurs. But that doesn't make it right. You know, again, as I said, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And that's exactly what this guy gets. Carl says Afrikaner plus steroids plus brandy equals this crazy behavior. It explains the nudity and the gun wielding.
Carl's incredible.
Police were called at 4 p.m. but only arrived at 1 p.m. This whole story is just so stupid, Sisting Me.
What?
Yeah.
1 a.m.
1 a.m., yeah.
Yeah?
Mm. And by then, you know, 1 a.m. is past curfew, so it's not like they could go to another place. If they checked in at 4 and they'd come to stop them anywhere before 10 in the evening, they could have forced them to leave.
Anyway. You know what I've always wondered? Like, what kind of ladies are into dudes like that?
Because
those ladies aren't panicking either. They're with him, you know what I mean?
They were panicking after the shooting.
Literally trying to scream him down. Like, there is one kind of calm him down. It's also always that kind of girl, right? That's just trying to calm her man down. He won't calm down. It's part of the fun of the relationship is you get into these situations and then you have to fan down.
There's a lot of screaming.
Okay, so that's a thing to tame the beast.
I just love this picture. That's a great picture.
That's
excellent. You know, that hat first.
Everything about that.
Mm-hmm.
Crocodile Dundee hat, the chain. Is that like a scorpion on his, what do you call it, that the cowboys wear? Like
like one of those things with the tassels. Yeah,
A bolo. Is it called a bolo?
If anyone knows, what is that thing called?
I think it's called a bolo tie or something like that. It looks like that's what he's got. I might be wrong. This guy's a firecracker. And he's got the classic... it's handlebars, but then he's got the line down the middle, which... you know, in a homophobic era called the 80s and 90s, that was it was termed as the gay stash. So he's got that going with the handlebars. So just incredible. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what that was a thing. Homophobia, a real thing.
And the long hair is.
He's got a terrible tan as well. He's like really sunburnt.
Yeah. All round, he's just a winner. Such a winner.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's our fun for the morning. And, you know, there are lots of people who are going to say, oh, Gareth, you're being insensitive. The man could be dead. I'm sorry. You're not going to find any sympathy. Not from me. Look elsewhere. If you're looking for sympathy, find it somewhere else.
Well, it's the worst when Darwin Award.
While we're
the winner.
While we're attacking people on their appearance, can I just point out how fat Whoopi Goldberg is and how she's just deteriorated? Look at this picture. This is Whoopi Goldberg talking about the Rittenhouse trial on The View this week. Look at the size of that woman. She's become a battle mastodon.
Whoopi, not like this.
What's happened? She can hardly see through her eyes. There's so much fat around them. Her eyes, she looks almost Chinese. She's got so much fat around her eyes. She is enormous. She's a great fighting beast. That's what she is. There's no other way to put it.
Not like this.
Yeah. So if you want to see what Whoopi's looking like at the moment,
She's 66.
All right.
That's so young.
66 kilograms per leg. That's just the legs. You mean an age?
And she has so much money and success. 66 is so young. Whoopi, why? We remember Sister Act, man. Shout out Lauryn Hill.
It's always disappointing when you see people deteriorate like that. Lockdown has obviously been hard to Whoopi, and she's been comfort eating.
I'm flabbergasted.
I know. It's pretty revolting. So here we go. Let's play a little game of fuck, marry, kill. Okay, you ready? We've got Len Cluter.
Yeah.
We've got Whoopi Goldberg, and we've got the Sangoma, this old Sangoma here. So who do you...
This is the worst.
Let's play a quick game. So Pumi, you get to choose. F, marry, kill. Whoopi, Lynn, and the Sangoma. Who gets killed? I mean, he's kind of helped us make this decision for him. I'm saying Lynn definitely.
Lynn must go. Lynn must go. He's already there.
All right. So do you marry Whoopi or the Sangoma?
Hell no, you married the Sangoma. He's going to clean inside your house.
All right, there we go. That's play stupid games, win stupid prizes. There's our game for the morning.
He's going to, like the Sangoma, that's the one you keep around for life, yo.
Shame. Eric has just joined the party. She's obviously a new listener. Hey, guys, are you busy fat shaming? Erica, of course we are. What do you think this is? This is my show. Some things are not going to go away. Don't be harsh. The pandemic has been hard, even on celebrities, says Therence Cameron about Whoopi.
Not like that.
Carmelo says that's some whooping kilograms. Hell yes. Yeah. If you want sympathy, says Steve, it is in the dictionary between shit and syphilis.
Word.
So apparently Gary's standing up for the West Rand here. He says that guy Len Cluter is not from the West Rand. He was from Pretoria. It happened at Misty Hills Hotel in Muldersdrift. Stop trying to make it less about the West Rand, Gary. It is your happened in your hood. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Let's look at some headlines quickly while we're
That was Misty Hills.
Misty Hills, yeah. You've been there before?
Yeah.
Oh, you have. At least you weren't naked and being shot by police.
Yeah, but it was so funny. Clearly strange things happened at Mr. Hills. It was at there was an event that we were hosting for a certain youth league.
Okay.
Many, many moons ago.
All right.
It was horrendous.
Well, what happened?
It was horrendous. It was like, you know, when you're on camp, but you're all adults and you're on camp. And so there's no teachers and there's booze and it was so scary. I think it's one of the times when I was just like, this is not going to end well for these people. And it did not end well for those people. They all got expelled.
Oh, really?
They all got expelled from the mother party.
Oh, I remember that. I know who you're talking about now.
It was That was the first and only time I'd been to Misty Hills. It was quite something. And that place is also quite something to behold. It's got thatched roofs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then it's coming together now.
Right.
Once you have thatched roofs.
Well,
and probably above ground jacuzzis.
Here are some very important headlines for us for this morning. The five things you need to know. So first of all, Britney Spears, of course, is in the news. She's very grateful for little things in life after conservatorship. I'm going to show you a screenshot of her talking about this in a video that she released on social media, and you'll get the idea of why I think she's the best for Britney is yet to come. And by best, I mean most entertaining for us, and for her, an increasing destruction and death spiral in whatever brain matter is left in her head. Britney Spears has spoken about the little things that she's able to do after being freed from her 13-year conservatorship last week. On Friday, a judge ended the legal guardianship. In a heartfelt Instagram video, the pop star said she was grateful to have her car keys back and a bank card again. She was so crazy.
Where's the screen grab?
I'll show you. But she was so crazy, they took away her car keys and bank card. Now, I know some pretty useless people who still have bank cards and car keys. So just imagine how lunatic Britney Spears is. Just imagine how crazy you have to be. So here's a screen grab from that Instagram video, just so you can see what she looks like. She's got dark rings under her eyes. She looks like she could be married to Lynn Cluter, frankly.
No, I think you need. I thought you were going to show us like the full version of her, so you can see like because she's got her stomach out.
Oh no, Pums. I'm sorry. I'm not prepared to poison our listeners' lives.
She's totally the archetype. No, yeah, she's totally the archetype. I kind of imagined that those girls screaming in the back of the video with
she's hinted she'll do an interview with Oprah Winfrey, that muckraker.
Oh, get him, yeah. Oprah.
Oprah
that woman's
Winfrey.
Unplayable.
She is absolutely despicable. She's like the...
In the orchard.
Yes.
Oh, with the Avos and Gail at the back serving them tea. It's going to be unbelievable. Yeah. Are you joking?
Listen to this. She Oprah says, Winfrey. I'm grateful for every day being able to have the keys to my car and being able to be independent and feel like a woman owning an ATM card. Seeing cash for the first time and being able to buy candles. Uh-oh. Fireproof. Someone better fireproof
the vagina ones from Gwyneth. She'll get the vagina-scented ones from Gwyneth.
Yeah.
You know who every now and then I get shocked, like with Britney, because they're so powerful in the marketing machine, her and Beyonce.
Mm.
Until I hear them talk, I forget how country they are. You know, like Beyonce is this unbelievable like megastar and icon. And then she'll pop on screen, oh no. And then Britney is just so...
Yeah. So rural.
So country.
She's rural.
Like,
Ikaba. That's the best way to describe Britney.
But I always get taken aback by Beyonce and Britney when they talk. I'm like, oh heavens. Mm. Like that. Yeah, you forget. Britney's going to be a mess. Come on. Hey, let's all be ready for it. I can't wait.
You know what people are saying, and this is a good point. Corona's Boring says Britney was supposed to commit suicide at 27. How are we supposed to have good crop harvests if we can't sacrifice on time? Unless she isn't really living, I guess. The fact is, though, if she wasn't under conservatorship, she may have killed herself. She may have been in that famous 27 club. You know? By the way, I think Corona's Boring is the same as the Kinisu Umuzi house guy. I think they're the same person. I think Corona's Boring is this Professor Dr. Dlamini.
It's not impossible.
I'm telling you.
We have to sacrifice the virgin for the good harvest.
Absolutely. Yeah. Shame. Michael says, don't be rude. Britney's not country or rural. She's caravan park. Yeah.
Okay, my mistake.
Mm-hmm. All right, other news, Pravin Gordhan says $130 billion offered to South Africa at the COP26 summit is not for Eskom's debt. No, it's for the pockets of politicians, you idiot, Pravin. You think we're stupid? Obviously, it's not for Eskom. It's for you. I mean, really, $130 billion is what they have promised us at COP. By the way, this COP26 is the biggest joke in the world. A whole bunch of people getting together, deciding what to do with money that isn't theirs, and talking about problems they can't solve. like climate change. They're going to turn down the sun? I'd like to see the other. We're just going to ratchet down the sun a couple of degrees. Morons. And I think we take them seriously. It's unbelievable. Anyway, he said, the offer will now be looked at and further negotiations will take place. Just what kind of negotiations, Praveen? Well, you know, 130 billion is good, but we'd actually like 135 billion. No. You know, we don't need the money. We're perfectly okay. We're self-sufficient. We know what we're doing. We've run the country so well for the last 27 years. We don't need your input, COP26.
What I'm most interested in is the terms.
Yeah, exactly.
Terms,
yeah,
of getting the money.
Right.
Who pays it back and when or how? Or what do they own for what they send? Is it a grant? Is
absolutely.
It a loan?
But
is it interest bearing?
But are you comfortable with our chief negotiator in this being Praveen Gordon? I'm not.
No. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah.
That is actually my biggest concern.
Mm.
Praveen Gordon is my concern.
Mm.
It could be 6 trillion. Praveen, what when we enter hand lab?
Pumi, I know you've got something to say about this too, but Andre de Reiter, the power utility Eskom CEO, told parliamentarians on Wednesday that the latest installment of Stage 2 load shedding starting today is regrettable. That's what he said. A number of members have commented on Stage 2 load shedding. This is, of course, very regrettable. And again, from Eskom's perspective, we would like to apologize. He made the statement while responding to questions on when the entity would be presenting its annual audit and audit report to the Public Enterprises Portfolio Committee. So you also got...
They put it in the statement. Mm. It was in the media statement, regrettably.
Mm.
Regrettably.
What do you think? What do you have to say about that?
I think they've becoming way too familiar. Like, really? Now it's just like, you surprise. Regrettably, we have to implement Stage 2 load shedding. I was so mad. I was very peeved. Because like a media statement, you know, is no place for emotions. There's no place for like regrets. Just tell us what you're doing to fix it.
Yeah,
what's the problem? What
I don't
are you doing
hear,
to fix it?
I don't want
to
hear from
responsibility.
You. I don't want to hear from you at all because none of this makes any difference to the fact that I had to wake up this morning in the dark. So screw you. I'm not interested. How about that, Andre de Reiter? So Naomi Osaka, who's a part-time tennis player and a full-time activist, has been voicing concern over a different Chinese tennis star called Peng Shuai. So apparently Naomi Osaka has become the latest athlete to voice concerns about where she may have gone because she has not been heard from since she made sexual assault allegations against a top Chinese official. Ah, Naomi, don't you know how it works in China? Duh.
No. Naomi's Japanese.
I know.
Japanese American. She doesn't get involved in foreign affairs.
Ah, she does. This is her. This comes straight from her.
Oh, she certainly does. I'm not a fan of Naomi Osaka. She certainly does.
When she isn't crying during press conferences about how mean everybody's being to her, then she's worrying about international affairs that are none of her business. But she says, I was recently informed of a fellow, probably during tears, because she's always crying. You know, she says the media are terribly unfair to her. They never ask her the nice questions. They always ask her hard, tough questions. And she's just so, you know, sick of the microaggressions. Anyway, she says, I was recently informed of a fellow tennis player that has gone missing shortly after revealing that she was sexually abused. Ms. Osaka tweeted using the hashtag, where is Peng Shuai? I hope Peng Shuai and her family are safe and okay. I'm in shock of the current situation and I'm sending love and light her way. Well, I'm sure that's going to help Naomi, when she's in the gulag out in Uyghur, China, working in a concentration camp.
Did you see the statement? Did you see the letter that she sent out?
Cannot stand. You know what I can't stand? Politics should be in sport. I think sportsmen should get involved in it. But if you're going to, right? It's always happened. It's always been in sport. So it's crazy to think it won't be. But then take the LeBron James route. Take the blowback. What I hate about Naomi Osaka, and there's another guy called Andy Murray, who's a piece of work himself, is that he's very much in the sympathizing, I want to be, is that if you get political, LeBron's about it. What I like about LeBron is no matter what you say, I'm about it. Cool. Say what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I'm going ahead. I'm for my people.
Right.
The rest of them, like Naomi Osaka and Andy Murray, as soon as there's a little bit of blowback, then they run to the media now and No. You don't get to do that. So come on. No, Naomi, grow up. Oh, this is painful.
So, but yesterday there was a statement, or rather a letter,
yeah,
to the CGTN Europe, allegedly from the young starlet who's, mm-hmm, been AWOL for, and it actually just says, "Hi everyone, this is Peng Shui." That's how it starts.
Oh, we believe that.
This, yeah, is Peng Shui.
Yeah.
Regarding the recent news released on the official website of WTA, the content has not been confirmed or verified by myself, and it was released without my consent. The news in that release, including the allegation of sexual assault, is not true.
Oh.
I'm not missing, nor am I unsafe. I've just been resting at home and everything is fine. Thank you for caring about me.
Yeah, anyone who believes that.
If the WTA publishes any more news about me, please verify it with me and release it with my consent. As a professional tennis player, I thank all of you for your companionship and consideration. I hope to promote Chinese tennis with you all, and I have the chance in the future. I hope Chinese tennis will become better and better. Once again, thank you for your consideration.
Who believes that came from her? Anyone? Who believes that wasn't
penned?
Who
says, I am not missing?
Exactly. Who believes that wasn't penned by the Chinese Communist Party in Beijing? Like, they probably had a committee of people. How do we make this sound really believable, guys? Chairman Xi,
like,
what do we
say? Nobody who's kidnapped says, I'm not kidnapped.
No.
Like, in a SOS letter or just to clear things up, Mom,
even
don't
if it
pay
is
the
her,
ransom. I haven't been...
Even if it is her, it sounds like a hostage video. You know those hostage videos where you have someone going, I'm absolutely fine. Pay no attention to the gun being held against my head just out of frame. Anyway, but it's become about Naomi Osaka because that's what always happens.
Yeah.
So good luck, Peng.
So, I mean, this thing is like spiraling out of control. It's just statement on statement on statement. Everyone's now like...
Freedom Fighter says,
releasing a statement.
Rossi Erasmus has a half a million rand fine and match ban. What happened there? I don't know what that's all about.
Rossi got a little, he did an hour statement about a referee a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it got a little bit electric. So
they're coming down. It's not just a match ban, is it?
No,
it's like
well,
a rugby
ban. Yeah, he can't be. Yeah, not in the stadium. And
oh, really?
I mean, I haven't read the rest of the story. No. They're coming down hard on Rossi because he's been an hour talking about a referee's error, and they really do hate the Springboks. It's like Australia, New Zealand, and England run things. So as soon as we do anything, So yeah, it's a bit of controversy now, but we'll be fine. We're still much better than everyone else. Don't worry about it.
So the thing I saw says he can't play until the 22nd of September. Until September 2022.
Ooh.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Wow.
But don't worry about it. So the Springboks are in such a good place. Rossi set things up so well. Don't worry.
So,
if you're South African, the one thing you can rely on, like a good wife, is the Springboks. Don't worry.
People are commenting.
That's the one thing that's good.
People are commenting on the statement that Pumi just read out. And someone said here, that may as well have been written using cut-out letters from a magazine. That's about right.
Chinese media, true story.
Unbelievable, huh? Yeah, they really think like 1920s-style propaganda is still something you can get away with in 2021. Maybe it is. I mean, again, you know, if we live in the era where this guy can sell a Iqinisa Umuzi for 2 rand... Then I suppose, and when this guy can shoot cops or cause cops to shoot him. Tuland. Is that what you just said?
Stop it. Stop it, Mulep. Stop it.
Yeah. So if you, the Zulu folks, they don't say Tulandi.
Tulandi. Well, we are living in the age of Britney Spears and Lynn Cluter, so let's just be grateful about that, shall we? Anyway,
Leave Britney alone.
We've got the Burning Platform coming up in the next hour, and I'm looking forward to that. We're going to be joined by Sarah Gunn. We're going to be joined by Rorisang Chabalala, who we haven't had on the show for a long, long time. And I'm very, very keen to speak to both of them along with Pumi, find out what their analysis is of a number of the things that are going on in South Africa. Among other things, we've still got some local government coalitions to talk about. We've got to talk a little bit about something we glossed over last week. I don't know if he hadn't died yet or not, but F.W. de Klerk's death and the reaction to that on Twitter. Also load shedding, which continues. But we also want to talk about the Miss South Africa debacle and how Israel and Palestine are now suddenly part of our local politics, or have never not been part of our local politics. We've got to talk about that a little bit. And also what's happening everywhere in South Africa in terms of what ordinary people are worried about and frankly should be worried about, what the politicians should also be worried about. That's all coming up in a short while. Stick around for the Burning Platform. This is cliffcentral.com. And while we're talking about things that are coming up, today at 11 a.m. we've got Health Matters, which is brought to you by Cipla. Now, with the rollout of COVID-19 vaccines in South Africa, reminds me, I've got to go for my shot today. I keep forgetting.
That's what you said yesterday.
I know, I was meant to go yesterday and I forgot that too, so I'll have to go today. Anyway, there's been a lot of uncertainty about the possible implications for people who are living with HIV. In this week's episode, Ryan O'Connor is joined by Professor Francois Venter from the University of the Witwatersrand to discuss HIV and COVID-19 vaccinations. Listen to Health Matters on cliffcentral.com, the Cliff Central app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Health Matters, 11 a.m. today, right here on cliffcentral.com. Make sure you don't miss it. Cliffcentral.com.